Target case is number 18-1497, Debron Nelson & AG against Becton Dickinson & Company. Mr. Bernstein.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
May I just grab some water, please?
Yes, please, of course.
May it please the Court, Scott Bornstein for Appellants v. Braun. The issue before the Court today is whether the District Court erred in construing the phrase needle-protected device as a means-plus-function term pursuant to 112.6. By way of background, there are seven patents at issue from two families. The patents all use the word needle-protected device in the asserted claims, and the patents generally relate to catheter insertion devices for inserting a catheter, an IV catheter, into the vein of a patient. And what was acknowledged at the time was when you withdraw the needle from the patient after insertion, the needle tip could be problematic to the healthcare workers. And so they developed what's called a needle protective device, which was known to persons of skill in the art at the time, which would protect the tip of the needle from needle stick injuries. And then also a novel valve, which would prevent blood from flowing out of the catheter after the needle was withdrawn. Now, we contend that needle protective device was incorrectly construed as 112.6 for several reasons. First, the limitation doesn't include the word means, and as this Court is well aware, when the word means does not appear in a phrase, a presumption occurs that means plus function should not exist. And whereas here, there was evidence presented, and we believe substantial evidence presented, by persons of skill in the art, and in particular Mr. Meist, our expert, as well as prior art that he relied upon and articles that he relied upon, we believe that it was a clear error for the Court to conclude.
We've also said that word device is a classic nonce word.
Well, Your Honor.
And then the question is, does the term needle protective connote sufficient structure to those skilled in the art? And so, as I understand what happened here is the judge below looked around the specification for understanding as to the meaning of needle protective device and did not see the term used in the specification and didn't see it defined in the prosecution history. And so then everyone had to resort to extrinsic evidence to try to figure out whether this term, needle protective device, is a term of art, an established term of art in the field that skilled artisans would look at and understand in their mind that there is some class of structures that relate to this term, needle protective device.
Your Honor, I agree with you in part and respectfully disagree in part, and of course I'll explain. I don't agree that device necessarily is a nonce word. It can be that the cases have determined that in instances where there's not sufficient support, either in the intrinsic record or the extrinsic record, it can be so construed. We contend that in this particular instance, needle protective device, when viewed as a whole, and also in the context of the surrounding language in the claim, is not a nonce word, and it did connote specific terminology to a person of skill in the art. And we relied, and actually the IPRs, and we submitted a citation of supplemental authority just a few weeks ago, where three IPR decisions on the same patents in suit construed that same term, needle protective device, to not be subject to 112.6.
And so I understand the arguments were a little different, and the evidence was also a little different before the board compared to what Judge Andrews had here.
Well,
I understand what happened below. There was no argument from your side that there any of the claim language helps define what is meant by needle protective device.
So let me answer your question, and it's there's several parts to the answer, so if I may. The evidence was the same. In other words, the intrinsic evidence was the same. Mr. Meist testified, our expert, at the district court and also presented expert testimony before the board. They presented expert testimony from Mr. Griffith, the same expert that presented testimony both below and at the PTAB.
Right, but am I wrong in recalling that your side agreed that there wasn't anything in the claim, the text of the claims themselves, that helped support the idea of what it must mean to be a needle protective device?
So this is going to sound sort of like a lawyer's argument, but the answer to your question is we didn't agree that there was not sufficient structure in the surrounding claim language. We did agree, though, and admittedly, we agreed that we were not presenting that argument to the district court. because we felt confident that there was sufficient evidence from a person of skill in the art that they would understand that term to connote a class of structure. But if I may, during questioning on oral argument, so in the briefing itself, we acknowledged that we were not making that argument, that there was sufficient structure in the surrounding claim language. No question about that. But then upon questioning from the judge during oral argument, we did, in fact, argue that there was structure. So the judge, and I'll get to that in just a moment, specifically during oral argument upon questioning from the judge in several different instances, and I'll direct the court to Appendix 323 at lines 18 through 20, where counsel indicated, quote, "We believe we have strong arguments as to why there's sufficient structure as to all three terms." And what he's referring to there is there were three terms that were at issue at the district court that were all attempted to be construed by BD as means plus function, though they didn't have the word means in it. So what counsel's arguing is needle protective device plus these other two terms were structural. And he went on at Appendix 325, lines 10 through 22, where he responded to the judge, quote, "So the issue is simple, Your Honor. Does the term needle protective device refer to structure to one skilled in the art? It does, and this is not means plus function limitation. So here's claim 11. Here is a representative claim from the Ware-Zerbe's patent." That's one of the two families at issue. "And we highlighted towards the bottom of the slide the term needle protective device. The claims go on to describe where the needle protective device is located. It states from the needle tip to the in the ready position and movable relative to the needle tip, at least in part distally of the needle." And then further at Appendix 326, lines 5 through 10, counsel continued by arguing, "But it needs to be spaced from the needle tip. It needs to be movable relative to the needle tip in the ready position. It has to be at least in part distally of the needle tip." Those are very specific limitations about this particular needle protective device. So what?
Why would the result be different, whether it's means plus function or not? In both cases, you just look at the spec and there it is.
Well, Your Honor, we would assert that when you look to the spec and under means plus function, you're limited to the embodiments and equivalents thereof that are described in the specification. There was nothing in the file history, as Judge Chen correctly pointed out, that addressed the meaning of needle protective device. And so there would be no limitation, there's no prosecution history estoppel that would require needle protective device to be limited to just the specific embodiment or embodiments in the specification.
So why would that result be any different?
Well, the result would be different, Your Honor, respectfully, because if it is construed as means plus function, then it's limited to the embodiments in the specification.
And equivalents,
that's right.
So I still don't understand why it would be different.
Well, Your Honor, Mr. Mice presented several declarations to the district court. He was the expert for B. Braun. And he indicated that there was a number of different embodiments that a person of skill in the art would understand to fall within the family of needle protective devices. And so if you were to construe a needle protective device broadly, as the PTAB did, for example, you know, the PTAB construed it to be a device configured to prevent unintended needle sticks, which is precisely what we contended to the district court the term should mean, which would have a broader meaning, we believe, than the construction that was ultimately adopted by the court.
So one aspect of it, I think, of what Judge Newman was just asking you about, might be framed this way. In the pages you were reading from the transcript where you're pointing, and you now do in your brief a little bit, to other claim elements with structural features, mm-hmm, as supporting the notion that this language, needle protective device, is itself structural, it seems to me the other language helps only to the extent that you can say, if you treat this language, needle protective device, as means plus function and just pull in the two different things in the spec, that other language in the claims wouldn't make sense. But if it does make sense, if all that other structural language makes sense, even with the butterfly clip and the other thing, whatever the other
thing, spring clip is what it was referred to, yeah.
Then it seems to me the other structural language in the claim doesn't add to the persuasiveness of an argument that needle protective device is itself structural.
You know, I understand.
Is there something in these other structures, in the other claim language, that's sort of incompatible with the spring clip and
You know, I wouldn't necessarily say, Your Honor, there's anything that's incompatible with a spring clip. What I would say is, if you limit the claim to spring clip, as the BD is certainly attempting to do, then that would definitely narrow it more so than the plain and ordinary meaning of the term as we had proposed. And I'll give you examples, Your Honor.
What is that plain and ordinary meaning that you proposed below?
Sure. It's a device configured to prevent unintended needle sticks.
Okay. So that covers anything that prevents needle sticks.
So great question, Your Honor. And that was something that BD had pointed out. They argued in their briefs that, for example, rubber gloves would suffice under that definition. But the answer is it doesn't, because you have to look at the term in context. And so when you look at the term in context, you know that it has all these other structural limitations.
Any component attached to the catheter assembly that can prevent needle sticks?
If it met all the other limitations of the claim, I would agree with that. But I would point out, Your Honor, that even BD in its brief...
I guess that my concern is that's breathtakingly broad and undefined. And that's not quite the same thing as... an ordinary skill artisan would imagine a certain set of structures and components that can that can be a needle protective device.
Sure.
Instead, we're looking at it from a different angle, which is anything and everything that can serve this function.
Let me see if I can help, Your Honor, because Mr. Meist supplied an answer to that. Mr. Meist identified specific structures that he believed fell within the category of needle protective device. That's it. Paragraph 90 of his declaration at Appendix 1943 to 1944. And in it, he identified protective shields, retractable needles, among other structures that would fall within the class of needle protective devices. And Judge Shen, just to point out and to further amplify the answer, BD also admitted in its brief, that this is not a question here, a legitimate question about what falls within this category, because these were devices or structures that were known. And so BD admitted in its district court claim construction brief, I'll direct the court respectfully to page 1690 of the appendix, that there was a, quote, wealth of prior art teaching almost limitless configurations for protecting healthcare workers from accidental needle sticks. And then they listed the types, including caps, needle guards, and retracting needles. So this isn't really as broad as one may suspect, because persons of skill in the art understood what was referred to. And Your Honor...
But I guess that then there's a nexus question, which is your term that you appear to have coined, needle protective device, why should we conclude that it encompasses anything and everything that that can serve this function? Just the fact that there were a number of, I'll just call them safety mechanisms in a generic way, that could protect against needle sticks, why do we have to read or find that Judge Andrews clearly erred in concluding that needle protective device wasn't so established as a coined term to skilled artisans that it means anything and everything that prevents needle sticks?
Sure. Well, in addition to Mr. Meist's two declarations, he also relied upon articles and prior art references, and specifically...
We're talking about the British Journal?
The 508 patent was what I was going to feature first, and then also the British
Journal. Well, your briefing below didn't really feature the 508 patent. It featured the British Journal.
Actually, it featured both, Your Honor. I'll direct
You're
the
talking
court.
About the string site to the 508?
What I'm referring to, and if you give me a moment, Your Honor, I'll get to it. So, B. Braun cited the 508 patent in its claim construction briefing. That was at the joint claim construction brief at Appendix 1753 through 1754. And then they also featured it during the oral argument at the Markman hearing. And that was at page 28, lines 1 through 12.
I guess when I look at your joint brief, I see one citation in a string site, at the back of a string site, at A1754 to the 508 patent.
Understood. And
is there anything else?
In the briefing?
In the briefing?
I don't believe so. No, you're right.
Okay.
And then during...
Featured is a strong word.
Referenced? Forgive me, I wasn't trying to overstate.
It's referenced.
Okay, thank you. And then...
Why would the language in that help establish that the meaning of that phrase is something other than what the meaning of a phrase a device for protecting against needles. That is, if you have a patent and you title it needle protective device, it seems to me you haven't yet told the world that it is a name of a thing as opposed to a name of a class defined only functionally.
Sure. Understood, Your Honor. So, for example, in the 508 patent, it actually recited that various protective devices of this kind, meaning needle protective devices, are known.
But why does that help?
Well,
the class of devices that serve the function will, of course, have members.
Sure. I think this is exemplary that there was a term that was known, needle protective device.
Did your expert, by the way, ever say, here are a bunch of things that serve the function that are needle protective devices, and here are a bunch of things, or at least one thing, that serves the function that isn't a needle protective device? Because if you don't do that, then it seems to me the phrase is you can't tell whether the phrase is simply referring to a purely functionally defined class.
Sure. So I believe the answer to your question is he did, in paragraph 90 of his declaration at page 1944 of the appendix, identify structures that fell within the class.
Right. What about the ones out?
I don't believe, Judge Taranto, that he actually said, here are examples that are not within the class, in fairness. But I would also point out, and Judge Chen, you referenced the 2003 British Journal of Nursing article. So that article, and they have raised the point that it's not prior art to all seven patents in suit. That is correct. It was prior art to the second family of patents, not the earlier family of patents. However, both parties acknowledge that the term needle protective device should have the same construction across both families. And as this court is aware, even if a later in time reference, it can be relied upon to show what the state of the art was earlier in time. And that's what we contend the British Journal of Nursing article does vis-a-vis the earlier family. And the reason why that article we believe is helpful is because it specifically references a definition for a needle protective device. And in it, it defines needle protective device as any product that can be used to protect healthcare workers from accidental needle stick or sharps injuries, injuries.
But in terms of the weight of that evidence for the proposition that I think you have to establish, it seems to me when it says an NPR is defined as, it is not necessarily saying the world of the relevant technology here understands the word to mean this. It could just as easily and maybe even slightly more naturally be understood to be kind of acknowledging this is not a term the readership knows, and we're now going to write something, and as a shorthand, we are going to define this term, which it seems to me doesn't tell you very much about relevant understanding in the usage of the skilled artisan community.
I understand your comment, Your Honor.
And you do have to get to the level of saying Judge Andrew's factual finding about usage is clearly erroneous. So a little bit of evidence wouldn't seem to meet that.
Well, Your Honor, we suggest we supplied evidence both in the form of the expert declarations. Of course, it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what a person of skill in the art thinks. And in this case, we did supply multiple declarations which were credited, by the way, by the PTAB when construing the exact same term. The other thing I would point out is, putting aside, actually, before I even get to the argument about the surrounding claim language, if I still have time, I did want to point out that there were at least two clearly erroneous findings that we believe the district court made. One was the district court concluded that the prior art and articles referenced by Mr. Meiss and relied upon by Braun post-date the filing date of some or all the patents at issue. And again, we point to the 508 patent, which preceded all seven patents at issue by several years, and also to the British Journal of Nursing article, which at least is prior art to one of the two families. And
let's hear from the other side, and we'll save some rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the court, my name is Omar Khan, and along with Bill Lee, Bill McElwain, and Jeff Dennard, I represent BD in this appeal. Braun at the district court presented only a single factual issue to the district court, and that was whether the needle protected device term had a commonly understood established meaning in the art. The district court found that it did not, and that conclusion was correct and certainly was not clearly erroneous. On appeal now, for the first time, Braun is presenting effectively a new case and is asking this court to make factual findings that it did not ask of the district court to make. We think those requests for new factual findings are waived, but even if the court were to consider them, the record evidence doesn't support those findings, certainly doesn't support the broad and incredibly expansive functional meaning that Braun wants to put forward and have in the court. What's important for the district court's conclusion is the context of what the court was looking at in the record. So the record was, as I think my friend on the other side acknowledged, was voluminous. There was two rounds of summary judgment briefing, three expert declarations, the court heard oral argument. The evidence before the court was that people in the industry, in the field, have been discussing mechanisms for needle stick prevention since the early 1980s. So there was a body of 40 years of literature that had been developed. And presumably, Braun canvassed that literature, as we did we. And out of that entire literature, the parties put before the district court 70 references in connection with all of the claim construction disputes before the court. With respect to the needle protected device limitation specifically, Braun put forward before the court 8 references. Of all the 40 years of literature, of the 70 references before the district court, only 2 references use the term at all. And both of those references use the term inconsistently with each other and with the claims. In light of the fact that there were no dictionaries, treatises, textbooks, in light of the fact that there's nothing in the intrinsic record, district court cannot be found to have committed clear error in weighing those 2 references and deciding that they were not probative on the core issue of whether the term needle protected device had achieved status as a noun for established meaning.
What if hypothetically, this is a hypothetical, the specification said something different? What if it said, over the past number of decades, there's been a lot of research and development on mechanisms, safety mechanisms that can help protect against needle sticks. And I'm going to coin a term, and I call it needle protective device. And by coining that term, I am referencing all known ways of protecting against needle sticks. There could be a spring means that shoots out and covers the endpoint of the needle. There could be automatic retracting schemes to withdraw the needle back into the housing. There can be some other things too, some shield elements of some kind. And when I say needle protective device, I'm referring to all of them. And then in the claim, I go ahead and say, you know, catheter assembly having this, that, a valve, and a needle protective device. Would that kind of a claim term in the context of that specification cover any and all known ways of protecting against needle sticks up until the time of the filing date?
That case is fundamentally different in 2 ways, and the answer...
I was just asking a question about my fact pattern.
Right. So in that very specific fact situation, first of all, needle protective device, we contend, would be a means plus function term subject to 112.6. And then there would have to be an inquiry into what the corresponding structures are that correspond to the now coined term needle protective device. And if the disclosure in the specification corresponded to and had the requisite nexus to the coined term, then Braun would be able to establish that the needle protective device limitation covered the corresponding structures plus equivalence under a litter infringement theory. But again, we focused on the disclosure. And here, the disclosure is completely different because that's not the invention. So the invention here is the combination of the specific spring clip with their specific valve. That's why the specification in this case doesn't talk about all the other shields and guards and caps and recessed needles and all the other things in the art that were known, because the invention is highly, highly specific and directed to the specific combination of the spring clip with their specific blood control valve. My colleague referred to the 508 patent, and on the 508 patent, again, context is incredibly important. On the 508 patent, again, as I mentioned, they put 8 references before the district court on the needle protective device limitation, and the 508 patent appears only in a string citation in Braun's reply brief. So it doesn't appear in the opening brief. It appears in the reply brief, and it's in a string citation. And the and my their expert, Dr. Meist, also did not have the 508 patent in his opening declaration. It was in the rebuttal declaration. So what does he say about needle protective device in the rebuttal declaration? He says, I found a patent having the title needle protective device. That's it. He doesn't say anything else, and that's at 2642, A2642. He doesn't say anything else about the 508 patent other than he found a patent that has a title. On that, and then at the argument, there was nearly four lines of oral argument at A333 about the 508 patent, which was a throwaway to the preceding 25 minutes of discussion on the needle protective device limitation, much of which focused on the British nursing article. The district court on that record was not obligated to discuss it. It certainly considered it and rejected it and appropriately rejected it. But I think the fault that, that Braun places on the district court and Judge Andrews for not addressing it is misplaced. It's really sort of Braun's own fault. With respect to the British nursing article, Judge Toronto, we think that the British nursing article is not authoritative for multiple reasons. For the fact that it states a definition that's coined for that particular article alone. It does not purport to be stating an established meaning in the art. And, of course, it's inconsistent with the claim and the use of the term in the claim. So that's important for at least two reasons. The first being that the inquiry is about what the means plus whether the term in the claim is means plus function and what the term in the claim means.
And it's inconsistent what?
It's inconsistent because the definition in the British nursing article refers to products as a whole. So the British nursing article says a NPD is a product that protects healthcare workers. And then it goes on to describe the products as a whole. On the facts of this case, that would be the catheter assembly that's in the preamble, recited in the preamble. The way that needle protective device is used in the claim is it's a component of the catheter assembly. The corresponding phrase for that component of a catheter assembly in the British nursing article is safety feature or safety mechanism. So the terms are being used inconsistently, which is relevant not only because we have to determine what the claim term means in the claim, but it also goes to show that there was no common understanding or established meaning, that it was a coined term in both instances. With respect to the needle guard arguments, I won't address them at length. Really, Braun has to jump through incredible hurdles to get to the needle guard arguments that remain in his brief. It's not only the waiver issues, but even if we get past the waiver issues, it's incredible to imagine that the district court clearly erred on this record when the term needle guard is not in the claim at all. The only expert testimony on the term needle guard is from BD's expert, and BD's expert testified that the term needle guard has idiosyncratic, functional, and coined meanings in the art. And then there's, of course, the dependent claims that cast doubt on whether the term needle guard and needle protective device have the same meaning. And we contend also then that the record evidence that they put before you is internally inconsistent. In sum, the district court cannot have clearly erred if, when in the 40 years of literature and in the nearly 70 references that the parties put before the court, there were only two non-authoritative references that even use the term, and they use the term inconsistently with each other and with the claims. If there are no more questions, I'll cede the rest of my time.
No questions? Thank you, Mr. Kahn. Mr. Bornstein, you have a little time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. Very briefly, I just want to point out that with respect to the question of whether or not the surrounding claim language around needle protective device contains sufficient structure, that's a question of law. That's a question of law that presumably this court must look at de novo with a fresh look. And I'll cite to the ZeroClick versus Apple case regarding questions of claim construction, including whether claim language invokes 35 U.S.C. section 112.6, the district court's determinations based on evidence intrinsic to the patent, which of course the surrounding claim language would be, as well as its ultimate interpretations of the patent claims are legal questions which he reviewed de novo. And when you look to the actual language of the claims, and I'll give you as an example claim one of the 249 patent, which is at appendix 173, just as, by way of example. And admittedly, each of the 14 claims that are presently asserted that include the needle protective device limitation all have different types of structure. But the 249 patent claim one describes a needle protected device, but it goes on from there. It says the needle protected device is spring loaded in a ready to use position.
And, I'm sorry, which claim?
I'm sorry, sir. I'm at claim one of the 249 patent at appendix 173. So it requires that the needle protected device is spring loaded in a ready to use position, positioned proximally of the valve and at least in part around the needle to prevent unintended contact with the needle tip in a protective position. So it's not the type of usage. I mean, typically, and of course, I'm sure my counterpart and I looked at as many cases as we could find from this court that have interpreted means plus function limitations. And typically when you see means plus function limitations, it's a circuit with nothing else or a lever with nothing else. But it doesn't have all the structural features and operational features that are here. Claim 25 of the 762 patent, which is at appendix 94.
I understand that all the claims were argued together, right? And there wasn't a breakout of, okay, claim 44 of this patent says this. Claim 17 of this other patent says that as in relation to the recited needle protective device.
You're right, Your Honor, with the limited exception that I read to you earlier from counsel when he was responding to questions from the court and identified a couple specific claims and limitations in those claims that he believed had structural limitations. But other than that, I agree with you. Claim 25 of the 762 patent, which is at appendix 94, it's a dependent claim and it reads the method of claim 18, wherein the needle protective device comprises a resilient portion made from a metallic material for moving the needle protected device from a ready position to a protected position. So again, you see structure. It's a different structure than the previous one. And I would direct the court to the MIT versus Abacus software case, which is 462 F3rd 1344 at 1355. And there the court acknowledged in the context of aesthetic correction circuitry that where the claim language does not merely describe a circuit, it adds further structure by describing the operation of the circuit. This description of the operation of the circuit is sufficient to avoid 112.6. And I'll also leave you with the Inventio case, which is Inventio versus Thyssen Krupp. And in that case, which was 649 F3rd 1350 at 1359, the court interpreted the meaning of the phrase modernizing device. And it found that it was not subject to 112.6 because the claims delineate the components that the modernizing device is connected to and describe how the modernizing device interacts with those components, which we contend is precisely what the claims do in this case. Unless you have further questions, I have nothing further.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Thank you both. The case is taken under submission.